We're now in our third week of our stewardship campaign with the theme Cornerstones of Stewardship. And next week, October 25th, will be Commitment Sunday. I hope you've been praying about what God would have you to do in the coming year. I know I've been praying for all of us collectively and individually. Well, today's sermon title is Thanks for Your Faith. And as I begin, let's pray. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, the first 10 verses. Hear now the word of God. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the 16th chapter of Acts, we read of Paul's visit to Philippi and his quick departure after causing quite a stir. He leaves there and makes his way through Amphipolis and Apollonia and arrives at Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a city of 200,000 people. It's where the Via Ignatia began. And this road stretched from the Adriatic Sea all the way to what is now Istanbul in Turkey, some 696 miles. Yes, this was an important city, and it fit right into Paul's evangelistic plans. The city was on the way to someplace else. And Paul is only there for three Sabbaths, and then is forced to leave. He then goes to Berea. As soon as they arrived, they went to the synagogue, and Acts tells us that the Berean Jews were more honorable than those in Thessalonica. And what I find amazing is the perseverance of Paul. He goes to Philippi and runs into trouble with the result of being run out of town. He goes to Thessalonica, stays 3 weeks, and gets run out of town. He goes to Berea, and the first place he goes is a synagogue, and gets run out of town. Some of the less honorable Jews of Thessalonica went to Berea to stir things up, and Paul then leaves and goes to Athens. Timothy and Silas are left in Berea. Eventually, Timothy catches up with Paul and informs Paul on the status of the new converts in Thessalonica. And Paul writes the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians based on the things Timothy has told him. The young Christians in Thessalonica had deep faith, but they needed more instruction. It's under this context that Paul writes, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." Do you have faith? Well, what is faith? According to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Lord, give me more faith. We all might have prayed this from time to time, but I learned years ago when June and I bought a house and we were attempting to live in said house while it was being renovated. It was being painted, floors were being refinished, the doors on the kitchen cabinets were being refinished, and numerous other things. It was during this season of what we believed was a pure hell that I learned that there are two things for which no one should ever pray, because I did, and I had to pay the price. The first is patience. If you pray for more patience, you are guaranteed to have, you will have to deal with more things which will require patience. I learned the more I prayed for patience, the more things went wrong, and the more time it took to correct those things that went wrong. I also learned I did not want to pray for more faith. I would contract with a painter or a cabinet maker or someone, and they would tell me when something would be completed. And I would ask them how certain they were going to be that it would be done when they said it was going to be. And they would respond, "Mr. Broom, you just need to have faith." Okay, assurance of those things hoped for and confidence of those things not seen. The more faith I prayed for in that season of life, the more things I did not see. For those whose life of faith is intertwined with worship, discipleship, hospitality, and community, these months of absence from one another certainly have put a strain on us in ways we've never seen or recognized. Well, several weeks ago, June and I took a trip to St. Simon's for a COVID getaway. On Wednesday afternoon, around 5 o'clock, I went to one of my favorite barbecue places, Southern Soul, to pick up dinner. If you ever go to St. Simon's, I recommend Southern Soul. Well, anyway, I went inside and ordered our dinner and came out and was hanging out with all the other customers waiting on their orders. I had just gotten through playing golf, had a golf hat on, mask over my face, and sunglasses. A little over 6 feet away was a bald-headed gentleman wearing a mask. Well, I had put an ice pack on my shoulder because it was hurting, which is another story. And when the gentleman saw the ice pack, he asked me how long my shoulder had been hurting. And I answered, and we had some more small talk. And I said, "You look familiar. In fact, you look like a friend of mine named Johnny Smith." And the gentleman said, "I am Johnny Smith." And then he asked, "Who are you?" And I said, "Charles Broom." Which gave us both a big laugh because Johnny and his wife, Lori, are regular attenders here at Kingswood when we meet in person. Johnny and I had just played golf together 3 weeks before that day. And to make it even more humorous, Johnny and I are fraternity brothers, and June and Lori are sorority sisters. The humor in the story is so telling about where many of us are today in all this COVID and how so many of us live out our faith. Neither Johnny nor I could recognize each other because we were hidden from each other by our mask. My guess is our faith has also been hidden from others, and we cannot recognize some people because we cannot see the person we know and love. But we can remember, and we can celebrate and continue to live out our faith. I love how Paul gives thanks to the people of Thessalonica for their faith. He might not could see them in person, because he's not close by, but he, nonetheless, is able to celebrate them because of what he hears. I've missed our Kingswood family terribly, just as you have over these 7 months. I've missed seeing people in person. I've missed worshiping with each of you, having in-person conversations, even getting a hug or giving a hug, watching you live out your faith. I miss you, but like Paul, who was not able to see the faith of the church in Thessalonica, he too celebrated it, and thus it buoyed his faith. I too hear of your faith being lived out among the Kingswood family and the community at large. We're lifting each other's spirits and buoying each other through phone calls, writing notes, sharing meals, having socially distancing gatherings, participating in virtual Bible study where members are praying for one another. Even in our days of COVID-19, I give thanks for your faith as I see the cumulative results of the Kingswood family stewardship and your continued faithfulness to the ministries and mission of Kingswood. This faithfulness is not only a testament of what is going on now, but what has gone on in the past, and in your confidence in what is hoped for in the future, and assurance of what is not yet seen. Yes, Kingswood, I, like Paul, praise God for you and give thanks to you for your faith. I might not have recognized Johnny Smith that day, but I certainly recognize your great faithfulness, and for that we can all be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.